You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello, kiddies. This is your Ghouli, the Crypt Keeper, and you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio, take two. It was Mike Bowes, Rob Humphrey, and Cast. This was almost the day that I forgot to hit record. This was almost the day.
Wow.
Yeah. We got about 10 seconds in and I said, oh, wait a minute. Okay. Yeah. That's why we are back. Last week, we had a busy fucking week. Last week, what did we talk about on the show? Oh, the Toxic Avenger.
Yeah. Great movie. Still haven't watched the sequels, but I'm going to catch up to them.
Of course, we forgot about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. Exactly, Cass. It was so eventful. I didn't even remember. But it's still, nonetheless, a big movie. And we have Matthew Cote on. That's up on YouTube and this feed, Rob.
I know. I saw that. I was very pleasantly surprised that you remembered to put it on the main feed that we do, you know?
That's what you yelled at me about, by the way.
That makes sense.
He's mean.
Yeah.
I'm not mean. Real rude.
I've never yelled at you, Cass.
No, you did 5 minutes ago.
Well,
yelled at me too. The other day.
You know what you fucking did.
Fair enough. But yeah, we're back this week. We are obviously from the title of the show doing Long Legs, Nick Cage, all these things. We have Drink Roll Call to get to. We have a hell of an update to give on that Aussie war on the Aussie front. We'll talk about that shit shortly, and then we'll get into our discussion on Long Legs. I was about to say something when we had our first take of recording. I can't remember what the hell it was now.
It had to do with me being drunk. Yeah.
Yeah, the Cutwater.
Oh, right. Yeah, Cass. So I was telling the story. I guess I'll start over now since we're actually recording. Yeah. Rob's drunk. Surprise, surprise. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Cass that. So we finally watched Paranormal Activity. We had done it on the show a couple of years ago now. Right, Rob?
This is a while ago.
Yeah. And he shows up again at that time, drunk as shit.
Cutwater drunk.
Yeah. Mentions nothing but a sex tape for the whole fucking episode.
I mentioned it like a couple of times, Cass. It wasn't a big deal.
Oh, my God.
Insert.
Ain't got to insert that. Everybody's heard that.
No pun intended.
Insert sex tape montage here.
Everybody's heard that fucking montage. You don't have to insert it there.
And they're going to hear it again.
I think it has the vibe that it was going for in that regard. Like, I think that's a very strong element of this movie because it makes it feel more like found footage.
And 10 out of 10 times, if you bring a camera into the life of a couple, the guy's going to try to make a sex tape. This is a little sexy time for Rob advice for everybody.
Very sexy time advice. Wow.
Bad idea. Do not make a sex tape. Terrible idea. You never want to watch yourself doing that. Otherwise, you will not want to ever do that again because you look like a fucking idiot. I guarantee you that. You are much uglier than you think you are, and you do not want to see it on tape. You're a hideous, hideous, foul creature. You don't ever want to see it. You will disgust yourself, and no, it's not... It's not nearly the thrill you think. Now, look, making the tape might be a lot of fun. And I'm not against you making the tape as long as you delete it immediately and never watch it. So that's my tip. Make the tape, delete it immediately, never watch it. Don't ever let anyone else see it. You will be disgusted by the result. This would have been a much more interesting movie had we actually gotten to see the sex tape. this chick is clearly crazy, but I've already got a camera here. And if I lean into this a little bit, I might get to make that sex tape that I want to make. And I'm here and I'm going to help you defeat this demon.
No, you're wrong.
And the best way to do that is to make a sex tape.
I cannot have a fucking thing on this show. You both know how long I've been wanting to talk about this movie. And you guys talk about a sex tape for like 10 minutes.
Rising factor in this movie, Mikey, is the sex tape. I'd be like, immediately, we need to move in together. I'm going to get a camera and we're going to make a sex tape.
God damn it.
I'm going to play along with this crazy woman long enough to get the sex tape. You motherfucker. He's just trying to get a little ass and film it.
Can you not take this seriously for Mikey?
For a minute, man. God damn it.
Mika got himself caught up in a situation where he wanted a sex tape. No, I tried to frighten the shit out of women to get them to have sex.
I believe you.
Mika should have started backtracking at that point because clearly he had made a mistake.
Yeah.
And he had really pissed her off. And
yeah, you don't want to do that.
You're trying to get to the sex tape stage and you're fucking making her mad. That is not good.
Call the demonologist.
So the play for Mika here was, hey, we can call the demonologist, but first we got to make this sex tape. All about the sex tape, Mikey.
It's not all about the sex tape.
That's the whole movie hinges on that because that's all Mika's trying to get. Is the sex tape. That's all he wants. He was my way into the movie. Like, I would totally be the one making fun of the fucking psychic coming to my house and just trying to make a sex tape with a crazy girl.
I'm not even going to mention the dog. He didn't mention
sex tape anywhere in the fucking tip. He's real big on trying to get that sex tape.
No.
Also, we skimmed over this. At some point, they do turn off the camera, and then they turn it back on after they had sex, and he's like, that's illegal in Kentucky or whatever. You know what that means? They did butt stuff.
Thanks for bringing up butt stuff, though. Appreciate that.
Good for them. They didn't get it on tape, though. Make the tape if you want. Delete the tape and don't ever watch it. I'm so drunk, guys. He's not going to make him joke about her dead mom. He's trying to make a sex tape. Man. You don't do that. That's not sex tape worthy. We never really mentioned this because I talked a lot about sex tape and that was pretty much it. I've been trying to keep it together and I fear I have not been succeeding.
You haven't.
I
got news for
you. Did I mention the sex tape?
And Rob would let him make the sex tape. He just wouldn't want to watch it with him. Yeah,
goddamn right. Goddamn right. I don't know if butt stuff is legal here in South Carolina or not, but we'll get down to it, Mika.
Probably going to look
into Laura, I'll break up.
God damn it.
I'm not making a sex tape with Greg.
You make it sound worse than it was with that montage.
Sounds real bad.
You put in a lot.
I'm gonna start a counter the next time that that this comes up. I'll have a counter update. Cass, it was like a 3-minute recording, and all I did was cut out every time he said sex tape in that episode. It was like a 2.5-minute recording of just that.
You'll hear me getting drunker as it goes too.
Oh, yeah. I'm just really disappointed that Mikey didn't turn it into like a drinking game where every single time Rob brought it up, he would take a shot just to get real fucked.
He would have died. And I didn't know he was going to do that. Here I am, finally excited. I get to talk about a movie that I love so much. Kat and Rob hated it. So, like, you know, I'm in defense mode. I'm going to intellectually plan out how well this movie is and to get them on my side once and for all, right? And he did nothing but talk about a sex tape. And speaking of how drunk you were, this button that I have of you, Rob, is from that night. All right. Said button doesn't want to play. Wonderful. Yeah, this is going great.
Perfect timing.
No. Although
motherfucker.
There it is. I was gonna say it's gonna play randomly. That's Rob drunk. This is also Rob drunk, so let's get into drink roll call. So Rob, what are you drinking all day?
I've been drinking bourbon. I picked up a bottle of Buffalo Trace today. And
is that one that you like?
I don't know. But I do like it.
You say you found it or was that a whiskey? Said you found something new and like you liked it a lot.
Four Roses. I bought a bottle of Four Roses and that was good too. But I prefer this Buffalo Trace. It's very good. I might like it a little too much.
Well, that's not good.
So here we are. Bottoms up, everybody.
Yeah, I am drinking flavored water.
Same.
Nope. See, there you go.
Twinsies.
What flavors y'all drinking?
Iced tea.
I got the blue raspberry starburst flavor.
Holy shit.
That's a flavor of water?
Yeah. And you know what the thing is about them? You can't put an entire packet in a water because it's just too fucking sweet. So you take like a tiny, tiny little like dibble dab into your water. And yeah, it's perfect.
We use the metric system down here. I don't know what the fuck a dibble dab is.
Dibble dab.
Yeah, I was going to say, is dibble a unit of measurement in Canada?
Actually, we don't use the metric system here. We use the other fucking thing that's not the metric system.
You use the thing that the entire world doesn't. So yes, got it.
Yeah. Yeah. We measure things in American.
Mm-hmm. America.
America. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just drinking. I'm trying to be better with drinking water. I think we talked about that recently. Mm-hmm.
I hit my water goal today.
Proud of you.
I did not. I don't think.
I did. Probably I hit not. Mine. And I was also drinking flavored water. I was drinking a blueberry grape.
Mm-hmm. How come you can drink blueberry grape, but I drink a blackberry whiskey and the world ends?
Because I don't drink blueberry grape whiskey like a child.
Oh my God.
What's the difference? You're still drinking a flavored water that's flavored.
Water? you can flavor water. You can't flavor fucking whiskey.
That we're not blueberry, going down that.
Blackberry whiskey is like something you would give a toddler. Right? You put it in their sippy cup to get them to fall asleep.
A little sippy cup.
What's wrong with you? Little blinky sippy cup, something blinky, like that.
There's the blinky cup.
Yep.
Has to get mentioned.
But yeah, I'm the worst with it. Like water, I just can't drink regular water. I don't really like that. I just cannot drink regular water. So I need it flavored. But mine are Crystal Light Packs. And Cass's is, you got Starburst. That thing is probably borderline an energy drink now.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't know. I got one of those circle water bottles that you could get the flavor thing for.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that. I don't know. Either way, I'm drinking water though, kind of, sort of, for the most part. So yippee for me.
Yeah. I do also have a glass of Diet Pepsi.
Okay.
In case I decide to switch from the bourbon at some point where if this ever feels unsafe, you know?
Oh God.
So you're just drinking straight bourbon?
Yeah.
Man's man.
With a twisty straw and a blinky cup.
No, it's in a. I even bought little whiskey glasses this weekend.
No, like, are you being fancy?
Yeah,
you put your pinky up too while you sit.
Little Glencairn. They do look quite a bit. They do look pretty fancy, actually. I'm gonna lie about that, but they're supposed to be. I don't know. These are the fucking things you drink whiskey out of, I guess. So I was like, well, fuck it. I'm drinking whiskey. I'll buy the glasses.
At least you're doing the part.
You should get one of those like big ass ice cube things, like the ball.
I had a tray that would make the big ice cubes that were just like they were like square, and yeah. I had one that would make the balls, but that one sucked. The fucking thing, it always fell apart. It didn't work right.
Mm. You had one that made the balls, Catherine.
And where are my balls?
I was just about to say something.
The one that made the big square cubes, I actually really liked, and I lost it. I don't know where it is. I don't know how the fuck you lose an ice cube tray, but I did.
I was going to say, it should be in the fucking freezer.
It's like, not.
Where else do you put it, dude?
It's not. I don't fucking. I think when I moved, I don't know if I fucking threw it away or I don't know what happened. But
I think your brother stole it, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know if he had a use for oversized ice cubes, but maybe. But I did have one of those. But when you have the these fancy whiskey glasses, the cubes, they don't. A big cube like that won't fit in there.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Doesn't matter.
All right. Before we get to the mailbag, we got to talk about this Australia thing, dude. This shit is, don't laugh. It's not funny. It's not funny.
It's kind of funny. They're wrong. What they did was wrong. And they know it was wrong, but it was still kind of funny.
Well, the dummies of horror. You sons of bitches, you. We're at war with them. It's a horror podcast war. They're rap bastards. You should probably go listen to that. In fact, you need to go listen to them to see the filthy, disgusting, atrocious thing that they did on their last episode. Rob, would you like to explain it?
So they did a they played a clip from one of our shows, right?
No. What? See, well, this is why we're in the situation we're in. Why? We're doing something here, dude. Come on.
They also made sure to feature Mikey's favorite song as well, too, really in the episode. So I appreciate that.
Did they? Scoozy. So everything in there was accurate. That's what the both of you were telling me.
Sorry.
I will say, of the three of us, the one, what they did was they did sort of a parody of our show, I guess, is putting it kindly, right?
Extremely.
And but I do think of the three of us, Cass was the one that they portrayed the most accurately.
Fuck you.
Wow. That's not nice when he turns on you, is it?
Look, no. They had the balls and the temerity to act like I am neither pretty nor clever when I am indeed both of those things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get Rob off his high horse for just a moment with you praising yourself over there. Yeah. They played Italian music. They said, oh, we're going to play a clip of some of the stuff the Slash Radio has been saying. And they played Italian music and then pretended to be the three of us.
Yeah.
And they gave me this Italian accent. I don't even talk like that. And then made Rob sound like Eeyore, but kind of dumb.
It did sound like Eeyore, didn't it?
Now, I don't know who did this. Like, we can't be sure because they were disguising their voices or whatever. But one of them sounded like a son of a bitch. And the other one sounded like they got some beady eyes. And they're a beady eye son of a bitch. All right?
I would encourage people who listen to this show to go listen to that so they can be outraged along with us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to be outside of somewhere and speaking loudly. Megaphones, signs, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, we got to rally the troops. We got to rally the troops. Although we might have to ask Chris to stop throwing spiders.
Yeah, that's another thing. All right. So they did that. We just heard about this shit today. Me and Cash just heard what they did right before this started. So we don't know. Like I said, when we got done listening to it, I don't know what we're going to do, but I can promise you something's going to be fucking done about this. Like, explaining it doesn't give it the justification that it truly deserves. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm livid.
It's very difficult to put into words what just happened.
Yeah. Talking about, it made me watch The Grudge on my daughter's brother. You son of a bitch.
I also wasn't even there for that episode, and I still got brought into it. So.
Oh, you're in it now. You're in it now, Canada.
Yeah.
They made Cass like Asian, but French and Canadian at the same time.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
Sorry.
This is squizzy. They're ridiculous. Absolutely absurd. They weren't that wrong about Rob, but for the most part, like they were.
No, hey, now.
I'm just saying.
They acted like I don't like things. It was ridiculous.
Unbelievable. Like I'm still trying to gather myself a little bit after hearing that shit. And also, IR Chris, who is also inserted himself into this, Chris made it a point to, he's been saying in the mailbag and everything else that he's gonna drop Huntsman spiders onto Tim from his garage ceiling or something like that. We thought it was his asshole. I don't know exactly
what it was.
But Tim, I seen a photo of Tim where he has a giant spider bite on his forehead.
He sure does.
Yeah. So you know what? At first, when I seen that, I felt bad. I thought, you know what? Maybe this whole fucking Slasher Radio Dummies of Horror thing has gone too far. And there's innocent lives at stake and we're playing with them, you know? But after hearing the shit that I just heard, Tim, oi, that's what you get. That's what you fucking, oi, that's what you get. You deserve. I hope that happened after you recorded what you record. I hope to God that that's timeline. That's what you get.
Well, what did I tell you guys last week? I told you a bunch of larrikins.
Filthy larrikins.
Yep. Filthy larrik. No respect.
Sons of bitches. You know, and I was fucked up too. I had some of my Bundaberg in the fridge still. I drank a little bit of that too, man. And I thought of Tim and I thought of the Dummies of Horror. And I was like, man, fucking Australians. I love Australia. Oh, and all those things. Like, I love it. I felt bad. And every time I feel bad, he just shoves it in a little deeper. I got to bite the pillow a little harder.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. It's bullshit. Anyway.
But also really fucking funny. Good job, guys.
I mean, they really nailed Cass. Exactly like she is.
It was not funny. None of this is funny. It wasn't right. It was an atrocity.
I think my favorite was the music choice. Not going to lie.
The music. Great. Yeah. Yeah. But you need to go listen to Dummies of Four to hear what they did.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
Us talking about it, us describing it is not going to do it justice. This is borderline war crime.
Yeah. Like it wasn't even, that's what I'm saying. Like it was completely uncalled for. Honestly, they portrayed us. They used our likeness on their show.
Identity theft is not a joke.
No, it's not. And they made us speak out of term on our character about ourselves and each other. And it wasn't right.
Yeah. Everybody will tell you I am clever and pretty.
Why is it I'm trying to make a point? You got to get carried away.
Bullshit.
Why? I'm just saying. Everybody says that about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once again.
Bullshit.
All right. Mailbag. I feel better now.
All right.
Right. Like I feel like I got it out. Like there was a lot of rage.
Trace the call. It's coming from inside the house.
Anyway, mailbag 917-397-KILLED. That's 917-397-5455. You can leave a message, text message, or voicemail for the show. We will have the messages read by Ghostface and the voicemails will play them on the show. Also, patreon.com/radiojohn. You're listening. You can sign up over there and leave a message directly on an episode, a post, whatever it is. And you'll also be able to get it through in here.
Hello, hosts and listeners. Ghostface here with messages from the mailbag. These messages are from last week's episode. And the first message is from Mystic. Hello, hosts and listeners. Ghostface here with messages from the mailbag. These messages are from last week's episode, and the first message is from Mystic. Also, I have never seen the Toxic Avenger, but I wanted to avenge Chris since he had his bit stolen.
Wow. Well, Mystic bringing up those filthy Aussies again.
Yeah, she sure is. She sure is. And, you know, look, I'm glad that the Toxic Avenger won. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And so I have no problem with any of this all the way around. Avenging Chris, watching the Toxic Avenger, I'm happy.
I mean, I'm glad I watched. I don't know if Cass really was mean to that fucking movie. Like,
Cass is mean.
I'm the nicest person ever.
You're really going to get a mileage out of this fucking
bullshit tonight.
That's what Dummies of Horror should have put in their fucking little thing. Cass being all mean to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I might have got on board. Well, I don't know. That whole Italian stuff was out of line.
I'm nice. Leave me alone.
I'd have been on board. But, I mean, I'm glad I watched it. Like, I'm not mad about it. But, you know, it's just, I just didn't enjoy the movie and I didn't see it when it all happened. So that's the thing.
I was really hoping we were going to do the sequel tonight. But
no, we weren't doing this.
Maybe one day. I'm really drunk.
No. I don't want to deal with you drunk and I don't want to watch that movie. No. All right. Next message.
The next message is from Spyro. Rob. Cass. You guys can't be shaming Mikey for liking the titties in Barbarian. What Mikey enjoys is his and his own. Whether it's the finger, the saggy titties, or whatever else. We can't kink shame. Also, talking about Meatloaf. Have you guys heard Meatloaf singing at the AFL Grand Final? If not, you should.
Spyro.
That was amazing.
I am so glad I got to hear that, Spyro. You're right. We shouldn't kink shame. Mikey can be into whatever he wants to be into.
Yeah. Missing fingers, saggy titties, you know. Yeah.
Whatever floats your boat.
The world is your oyster.
Yeah. But I did not know the Meatloaf saying it, though, whatever you said, because I never even heard of that event.
Spyro, I can't take. I love. So that's the fucked up part of what's happening right now. Like the other Aussie thing, Tim, that beady eyed little fucker. Fuck them. I don't care about any of that. Like they deserve what they deserve. I love Spyro. I used to love Tim, but I love Spyro. So this one hurts. Spyro, I can't take any more shit. Look, is there a big ass billboard somewhere in fucking Australia that says come bother me? Is that what's going on here?
I really hope so.
No, I don't like the saggy titties in Barbarian. I don't like those titties at all. I got news for you. Second of all, there's no kink shaming going on here. I happen to have a partner. She has very nice titties. I got news for you, all right? That's not a thing for me. And I didn't do anything with that goddamn talk to me hand, and I need everybody to leave me the fuck alone. I showed you guys. I got a fucking message, a text message, minding my own business, not bothering anybody. And somebody texted me about that fucking movie and that the talk to me hand that I have and about it going up my ass. And I don't appreciate any of it.
I'm just really glad I could spark such a really good conversation about this because...
Casting was a big part of spreading that. He was a big part. Rob was the spark and the flame, and Cass was like the inferno. This is bullshit.
I'm the fucking flamethrower, baby.
See, that's what teamwork gets us, Cass.
What? Why that's can't right. I have anything? Why? I love that movie so much. I made a financial commitment to buy an expensive piece to show how much I love it and all that.
And yeah, and then you decided to stick it places where it shouldn't be, and you broke it. So, like, the heck, Mikey? Why would you make that decision?
I'll never do that. Go to fucking Australia. Join up with the damn boy over there. Holy shit. Thanks for the message, Spyro. Appreciate it. I was in Spyro's stream the other day, and he's a good time. Always playing indie horror games and... at Mecha Spyro on Twitch. Everybody should go watch him and remind Spyro how much I love him. Stop with the talk to me thing. Like, God damn it.
It's going to turn into the Blinky Cup. We need to mention it every week.
Oh, it comes up.
Yeah.
It comes up plenty.
It sure the fuck does.
Yep. Comes up a lot.
In my personal life, it sure the fuck does. All right. Next message.
The next message is from the companion episode, and it is from Leia.
Yeah,
if they hadn't have let us know that she was a robot, the reveal of the second robot would have seemed redundant, but it made me say, oh, shit.
Dramatic reading right there.
It did. It was a real dramatic reading. Yeah, she got kind of a point, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I can see that. Like, if I didn't know that she was a robot, which I wasn't 100% certain anyway, because I had only seen the teaser trailer. But I had an idea. So, yeah, the second one was a more of a reveal, I guess. But if I went in not knowing at all and then she was a robot and then the other guy was a robot, I might have been like, what the fuck? Everybody just a goddamn robot. So, yeah, she's got a point.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it seems like they looked at it as. Because when we talked about it on the companion episode. It was kind of, to me, like a marketing decision was the biggest thing because you want to get in with that whole trend and thing that's going on right now.
Yeah.
So I get it. And that'll get people through the door. But I mean, you can kind of have your cake and eat it too with that. Maybe they thought of that as well. I don't know. Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know. But yeah, she's definitely got a point. And I hate admitting that Leah made a good point.
You be nice to Leah. She's an amazing person. But why still? It's been so long. Why can you leave her alone?
No, it's just ingrained in my soul now. And I am nice to Leah. I tried to be nice to Leah, and then she started in with me.
You literally, when you first met her, your first words to her were, don't suck.
Right. I was trying to be encouraging. Like, don't be a sucky person. And look where we're at all this time later.
It's a fucked up first impression. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. All right. That's it for the mailbag. We can take a quick break and we will be back with our discussion on long legs.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Ash tried to give you a Nick Cage gift. Mm-hmm. This week, was her intention? Like, she actually came to me and said, "Hey, should we do a Nick Cage movie to make Rob happy?"
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
So, how do you feel?
I feel good. Look, I love Nicolas Cage. I was happy to do a Nick Cage movie. That was not my issue.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying in general, you're getting to talk about Long Legs now.
I know. I'm very excited. I love Long Legs. And I'm looking forward to talking about it. I want to hear what you guys think about it. And then I want to tell you why you're wrong, because you're probably going to be dickheads about it.
No, actually not. I'm going to be nice this episode.
I will determine whether you're nice or a dickhead, Cass.
Okay, sounds good.
If you're not on your knees doing the gurgle for Nick Cage, that's a day. You'll probably get banned. This might be where you get banned from the Nick
after Cage. This could be the episode, Cass.
Okay.
Cass, I want you to shit on this movie. Just say it's the worst thing ever.
You just want me getting banned off of like everyone's platform, Mikey. Leave me alone.
It's true, but also this one's kind of like, you know, a fucking friendship thing, man. Me and you stand side by side together and be banned from the Nick F. and Wu Cage Cast. You won't do it.
I will never stand beside you. And
you son of a
no.
God damn it. All right. Anybody want opening thoughts? Long Legs. I can go first.
Go ahead.
I feel like this movie, you have to look at it. And not just this, like Long Legs itself, movies like this, you have to look at it differently than other horror movies. You know, I feel like a general audience looks at horror movies and they expect to, you know, turn on the screen and it's Jason Voorhees, you know, slicing someone up or something like that. This is a very sophisticated film, both in tone and also in execution. The production of this movie is like God tier, honestly. And that's not even like, I'm not a huge Nick Cage stan like Rob or, you know, whatever. I just think it has to be said. Like, this is one of those movies that I feel like, for its production at least, does not get as much credit as it deserves. And also as a movie, just sitting down and watching it as a horror movie, dude, they fucking nailed it. There was things that were uncomfortable, without necessarily in certain moments, anything that's supposed to make you uncomfortable. It was just performance and the way they were able to set a tone and how it all came across, because everybody on the whole front did such a great job. But it's not a movie that I'm going to sit down and watch Long Legs a whole bunch of times, you know? And it's not so much like we say that about Henry, Portrait of the Serial Killer, because that movie's fucked. Mm. But it's really good, but you don't want to watch it because it's fucked. Like, this one didn't really fuck, but it's like, you know, it's just got a weird, eerie aura to it, you know, its rewatchability is the only thing I could ding it for across the board. So, yes, Rob, kiss my ass.
It's like you mentioned it. There's certain scenes that make you feel uncomfortable. The movie, it does make you feel uncomfortable. So that's what probably plays into the rewatchability of this film. You know, you don't want to have to sit and watch and deal with those scenes again, because they make you feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
Yeah. Robert,
You guys ding it for rewatchability. The night that it came out, I went and saw it at 7 o'clock. When I walked out of the theater, I immediately got a ticket to see it once again at 9 o'clock.
Wait a minute. Hold on real quick. I hate to interrupt your monologue.
Yeah.
Why'd you buy another ticket?
Oh, I didn't really buy a ticket. I had a Regal Unlimited, so it was free anyway.
But so still, you just walk into the theater.
No, because
go grab a drink and then turn around.
But why? I have Unlimited. It doesn't cost me anything extra to get the other ticket, and it boosts the box office number.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah,
it doesn't cost me anything. Like, I paid for Unlimited. I paid, I think it was $25 a month. I go to as many movies as I want.
Fair point. But still, the lazy ass in me just turns, gets something, the pretzel or something, goes back into the theater.
And if you're going up to the concession stand to get a pretzel anyway, that's where you buy the tickets at that movie theater. So you just get the fucking ticket.
That's fair.
I mean, it's, you know, and, you know, it helps the movie. But anyway. I found the movie. I find it still. I've seen it, I don't know how, 5 or 6 times now. I still find it rewatchable. Like, I find more about the movie. I think I discover more about the movie. Maybe not every time I watch it, but, you know, while in rewatches, I feel like I've come to understand the movie better than I did the first time. So no, I think it's very rewatchable. Now, the biggest problem, I guess, with its rewatchability is that the movie is, it's just a fucking vibe, right? And so I have to be in that mood for that kind of, you know, just tone and vibe. And I'm not always there. Because I would say this movie is, it's creepy. I wouldn't call it scary.
No.
And so, yeah, I just kind of have to be in that headspace to where I want to sit down and watch something like that, as opposed to something scary or something. This movie's not necessarily fun. So, you know, but that's the only thing it's tougher. But that's true of a lot of movies, you know, like sometimes I want to watch Zombievers because it's hilarious.
Oh, God.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but the tone isn't, you know, it's dark, it's deep, it's uncomfortable. Like me and Cass were saying, like, you know, you don't always want to do that. So it's a different kind of,
No,
I try not to compare this movie to a certain movie, but it is very similar to Silence of the Lambs. And Silence of the Lambs is kind of that same style of movie where really, really great movie, enjoyable to watch, but the rewatchability for that film is just like you're not going to watch it back to back to back like multiple times throughout 1 week just because of the pace and the tone of the movie. But it's a good movie that, you know, say a couple months down the road, you want to watch it again, you can watch it.
Yeah, I can see that. And I think a lot of people who didn't like this movie were upset that it wasn't more like Silence of the Lambs, because this movie, it starts out very much like Silence of the Lambs. And that's what I think everybody was expecting when they went to the theater. And then this movie takes a hard right turn. You know, it goes places Silence of the Lambs didn't go.
I think any horror movie or movie of this stature that has a female lead in a police role is always going to be forever compared to Silence of the Lambs.
Right.
Whether tone of the movie is similar to Silence of the Lambs or not, it's just always going to be compared to that film.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, she's a young woman starting out at the FBI. Yeah, all the comparisons are there to Clarice Starling.
And I we're going to get back to Silence of the Lambs in a moment. Don't worry. But that's a really good point that you brought up in there, Cass. And I was, because we had switched to Long Legs last minute, we were going to do Mandy. But I was my plan was, okay, so I don't have to watch the movie because I was late to the Long Legs train. Rob, you remember I just told you recently what I thought about Long Legs. But I was like, hey, you know what? I'm gonna throw it on. Like I wasn't really doing anything. I'm taking a couple of like just kind of vibe out days. I was like, I'll just put it on the side and pay attention to both. And I ended up just getting sucked into it all over again, to be honest. So I'm glad, the point being, I'm glad I ended up rewatching it because you do get a different experience watching it again. It is true. And I didn't expect that because usually with movies like that, you feel it all. And, you know, like that's kind of like, it's a pretty straightforward movie. I didn't really notice anything different than I did the first time. Cause like I said, you kind of just like, this movie does grab you by the short and curlies and you remember it, you pay attention to it. You can't help it. But I'm glad I rewatched it again.
Yeah. Well, that's when I saw it opening night. I sat in the theater, I watched it, and I thought it was tremendous. But I wanted to rewatch it immediately because I didn't expect it to go where it goes. I was expecting, when I went into the theaters, one of those people who was expecting it to be very similar to Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, same with me.
So I was like, you know, now that I know exactly what the movie is, I want to watch it again. And I found I liked it much better on a second viewing than I did the first time. I also knew where the movie was going, I guess. So I wasn't trying to play catch up to the movie or try to figure out what was going to happen.
Weren't expecting it, sorry to jump in, to be like Silence of the Lambs the second time you're watching it. You know, it takes a different route.
Yeah. And so I knew where it was going. I knew what it was going to do. And now I could just sit back and kind of take it all in. And I think I actually enjoyed my second viewing more than the first.
I agree with you 100% on that, because I have to say the second time watching this film was a lot more enjoyable than the first time, because again, you go into it kind of comparing it to Silence of the Lambs. It takes a different turn, but you still see those kind of nods to that film. But then when you watch the second time, knowing the outcome of the film, it's just, I definitely agree. I I personally enjoyed watching it a second time than I did the first time watching it.
Yeah, yeah. I think it just, it makes it easier to figure out what's good. Mm-hmm. You know what's happening. You know where it's going. So you're able to just kind of take it in. And there's a lot to take in this movie.
Oh, because yeah.
It's so well made. Like it's shot beautifully. The changing aspect ratios, you know, how it looks almost like 8mm when it's in flashbacks. And then it goes
I love that.
Like the widescreen.
Yeah.
You know, the performances are fantastic. I mean, hell, former President Bill Clinton won a Slashy for his performance in this award at the past this past year's Slashies. You know, so it's. But yeah, I mean, that's the big, one of the things is everybody pretty much that I've talked to agrees that Nicolas Cage is incredible in this movie. Where the split comes down is Micah Monroe. What do you guys think of Micah Monroe's performance in this movie?
I'm not a fan of hers to begin with. So I don't mind her performance. I know a lot of people said that, you know, a lot of people were saying that she did a phenomenal job in this movie. I definitely think she did do a good job in this movie. I just wanted her to be a bit more of a badass. She came off like way too frightened and fragile for me. But that, again, you know, that ties into the link and the comparison to Silence of the Lambs, because Clarice is a little bit more of like a hard ass than her character is in Long Legs. So it's hard to separate, but I wish that she wasn't so like timid and scared, in my opinion.
Huh. Cass, do you fancy yourself a little bit of a Clarice Starling?
No.
Oh, okay. You got a little bit of like her attitude, you know?
No.
I think she did great. I can see what Cass says. I thought she was fine. Like she put forth a really good performance. And yeah, I would have liked to see a character more like that as well. That would have been nice. But what I seen on screen was still phenomenal. I actually noted down kind of towards the end where she's spoiler alerts, by the way, obviously for everybody, where she sees her mom shoot her partner in the car. And she comes out and is like walking around the house to find out where the hell her mom just went. Dude, you can see like that moment all over her. And she did a phenomenal job. Like just your mind not being there, you know, that what the fuck. And yeah, it would have been cool to see somebody kind of take control of the situation and kind of and really, truly handle it. Because all right, that's another thing I can kind of ding it for. Maybe we'll bring it up now. Like the only thing is, I get that she portrayed it perfectly. Like she doesn't know what to do. She's in a tough situation. She's dealing with all this fucking trauma unfolding before her eyes, decades of therapy are being caused right in front of her. And I get it. But dude, she let that go on way longer than it should have, you know? And that's my only thing. But the point was what she put forth. I'm still not mad at. She did a phenomenal job, but I agree, Cass. Yeah. I would have rather. Yeah.
Well, also the interview scene, like she did I think that the interview scene is probably my favorite scene of hers throughout the entire movie, just because you can really see even just like her, like she's not acting. It's just like her pure emotion to the situation that's in front of her. I think the marketing behind the movie with talking about her heart rate and stuff, filming that scene was also really, really cool, because it made that scene such a peak point of the film for people to like really engage and watch. I went into it not being her biggest fan. You know, I've seen It Follows and I wasn't the biggest fan of that film. And I just, I think it's just wrong. Because of her. what did you say, Rob?
I said, you're wrong.
I watched it once and this was like when it first came out, so I wouldn't be opposed to watching it again to see if I had a different opinion on
it. Put
it
on the list, Mikey.
God damn it.
I'll add
I'm
it
not
to
the list.
List
ho. I'm not I'm, the list. I'm the list.
I got the list. I made a spreadsheet. Okay. Leave me alone.
Put on the list, Mom. God.
I'll add it to the list. But anyways, I watched that. Wasn't the biggest fan of her going into this. Again, not the biggest fan of her. Think she did a great job. Loved that scene. The interview scene was great. But yeah, I wish she was a little bit more of a badass, because
I can see that.
To see, but
I think that a lot of people were put off by like how she's just so awkward, like sort of socially, you know, and things. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was fitting for the character. And so I thought it was a good choice. I thought it was an interesting choice to make. Because I think, it, you know, if you grow up in that home with that mom.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be great around other people, probably.
Yeah, that's why I kind of have to like keep reminding myself throughout the entire time while I'm watching her. Go, like, she's got a really broken childhood and she's got a really weird at home situation. So
yeah,
because it make sense for her to act the way that she's acting. I just wish it was different.
Yeah, I don't think we ever even find out anything about her father.
No, not I don't think so.
Yeah. Like it, I mean, everything her mom talks about is, you know, it was just her and the kid living together in that house.
But also, I find too, like with her going up against Nick Cage in this role, like it's like he's got the spotlight on him. Like his performance was probably, I would say, like one of my top three Nick Cage films. Like he was unrecognizable in that role, and I was highly, highly impressed. Again, another spoiler alert, but I wish he was in it throughout the entire duration of the runtime of the film, because I just wanted to keep seeing more of this character, because he was so incredible. Yeah.
I think, again, talking about Silence of the Lambs, I think it's that Hannibal Lecter effect, right?
Yeah.
Hannibal Lecter's hardly in Silence of the Lambs. Like,
isn't he only 8 minutes or something?
Yeah, it's a very small amount of screen time for that character. But his presence is felt through the entire movie. And I think the same thing is true of Longlegs. And I think that if you see him too much, that sort of the impact of it kind of might wear off. So I think that they made a good choice in mm-hmm. holding back as much as they did. And also, though, the one thing I will say, a dude looks like that. How does everybody not report him to the FBI as a serial killer immediately? Like, you see that fucking guy, it just feel like, because when she finds the picture of him and takes it to Blair Underwood's character, her boss, he goes, "You want to start a manhunt based on this?" And I'm like, look at the fucking guy. Somebody needs to know where he's at.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Everybody step back a couple steps, because you might get poked with Rob's remote. let's talk about Nick Cage.
Yeah.
He was great. He was great in this.
Amazing.
Yeah, that interview scene was wild. It was like, this was a role for him. Like, mm-hmm. who else? Yeah. I honestly don't think anyone could have done that. The way it came across, I don't think anyone could have done that better than him.
No, I'm perfect choice for that role.
I'm honestly glad that when it came to the marketing of the film and the trailer and everything, you never saw his face until you actually watched the movie.
Yeah.
It left it to the unknown of what he actually looks like. And, you know, the reveal in the movie makes it that much more impactful than being spoiled by a trailer.
Yeah. How great is the cold open in this movie too? Like when he drops down and then it just cuts. So you see him, but just briefly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. Yeah. He's great in this role. And there is the scene where he's singing Happy Birthday on the television set. God. And, the lady says that it goes on for like another 23 minutes or something or whatever. Apparently, when they did that, when they filmed it, he actually went on for like 23 or 24 minutes or whatever she says. And then they had to cut it down. So there's been an internet moving of them to release the entire scene so we can all see it.
That'd be really cool.
But yeah, I guess when they were shooting it, one of the guys was kind of looking at Oz Perkins and he was like, are we going to stop him? And he goes, no. When you got Nick Cage in your movie, you just let him be Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
So Smart man. He just went on and on.
I do have to say one thing about the interview scene again, just to circle back, but it reminded me very much of when I watched Hereditary for the first time and her head, she gets like decapitated from the pole. Mm-hmm. And I was so shocked because I thought she was the main point of that movie and she was going to be in it for longer than she was. So same thing with this interview scene. When he does what he does with the table, it was very shocking. And I kind of went, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, I was expecting him to kind of be in tiny inserts throughout the entire duration of the film. But when that happened, it was kind of, it was that same feeling I got when I watched Hereditary for the first time, but
yeah,
very, and very well done.
You're our resident effects expert, but I thought it looked great. Like just the way it was kind of like the way it was coming off, like his face was just kind of coming off with each slap against the table more and more was so good.
See, for me,
I mean, too, disgusting, but good.
Oh, 100%. For me, the other thing that when I was watching that scene and he was smashing his head, I was expecting that the scene to end with his head just down in a pool of blood and you didn't see the condition of his face. So the last cut before you don't really see him anymore in the film, but with his head being tilted, his nose is fucked, his jaw's fucked. Like it just, it's a scarring image to see, right? Like it was, I really liked it.
The
blood was going across the room, you know, like it was a genius route to go. You know, you see a lot of those scenes end with like shooting yourself in the head. Obviously you could do that, cutting yourself, you know, something like that. But what a way to fucking do it. You know, like and it's not quick. It doesn't happen and it is done. Like you're stuck in that moment until they're done, you know, and they let you out of it. And it's fucked up, man. Like the whole thing. Homegirl's reaction too. We're talking about that. Like it was great. It was great. And what about his effects? I was going to ask you that too, Cass. That looked phenomenal. The aftermath of the slamming of the cage. I was going to say face, but the cage like that.
Yeah, a little bit.
What about his face before that? Because it looked like, I don't know what they were going for.
I can tell you what they were going for.
What was it?
It was described, I believe, by Oz Perkins as he's a guy who was really into the glam rock of like the 70s and early 80s. Possibly he was even in a band at one point. And so he's one of those guys who he's had a lot of like bad plastic surgery, like the kind of guy who would go to like a plastic surgeon in a strip mall or whatever. I mean, look, plastic surgery wasn't good at that place. Shit, it still doesn't look good now most of the time.
No.
But it looked really bad then. So he was going for that, like somebody who's had a lot of bad plastic surgery and then covers it up with like that white kind of powdery makeup stuff to try and make himself look sort of like a, you know, sort of glam rock star. He just says never let that go because this movie's set in like, I don't know, the 90s sometime. Right. Mm-hmm. Because we know Bill Clinton's president because of his powerful performance in this film. And so that's what they were going for.
Okay.
Yeah. I love
not it. To say it didn't work. It worked. You know, I just I was like, what the?
Yeah. No, it threw me off too. That is also, I think, why there's so much like T-Rex music in there. Mark Bolan, T-Rex, was known as a guy who sort of was one of the forerunners of that sort of glam rock thing in the 70s. And there's even a poster of Mark Bolan when we see Nicolas Cage or Long Legs workshop. There's a poster of Mark Bolan on the wall. The quote, the lyrics. Oh my God. So Mike, you know this and Cass, maybe, I don't know if we were mentioned this to you before or not, but I'm obsessed with YouTube reaction videos. And so after when this came to like VOD, I found a ton of people who watched this for the first time. And these kids today, Mikey, young people like Cassie's age over there, they don't know T-Rex, and it really bothers me because like the lyrics come up to the beginning to the song Bang a Gong. And it says, you know, it has the lyrics and then it says T-Rex at the bottom. And people were I cannot tell you the number of idiot kids that I've seen on YouTube go T-Rex. What, a dinosaur said that? What the hell's that? Oh, God. You fucking morons. Try listening to something that came out before you were born.
Yeah, honestly.
That song kicks ass.
To be fair, I don't know what that is either. So
you would know what it is. You would know it if you heard it. I find it hard. It's been in so many movies and things over the years now. I find it very hard to believe you would know the song if you heard it.
All right, fair enough. But yeah, no, he looked phenomenal. But it had that eerie, questionable, like just it was an even his even his look was very uncomfortable. A tone throughout the movie.
It does lead you to believe though, like this guy, like because they seem to be in a small area, right? Like a small town almost. I mean, they're talking about Seattle and stuff, so maybe not, but they live out in the middle of, you know, kind of far out. You're like, you know, if we're looking for a weird guy, maybe that fucking weird guy over there is the one we want to talk to. Because he just looks like a fucking guy that you need to talk to if you're the FBI.
Yeah, for real. Okay, the last thing I had to bring up was Robert Humphrey.
Yo, Michael Bartholomew Bones.
I don't want to hear a fucking word from you ever again about Silence of the Lambs not being a horror movie.
Did I say it wasn't a horror movie? I say it's borderline.
Yeah. But even so, if you're going to ride this the way you do, there's no way you can have that argument at the same time.
Well, there are more horror elements in this than Silence of the Lambs.
Is there?
The fucking devil's in this movie, dude.
All right, but I mean, you got fucking a dude who eats somebody's, kills them, eats their brains, and you got Buffalo Bill fucking kidnapping people and trapping them in a well. Ass help me on this one.
No, I agree.
This is more of a horror movie than Silence of the Lambs. I'm not saying Silence of the Lambs isn't a horror movie. I'm just saying this is more of a horror movie.
See, for me, I wish there was a genre separate from horror, because I think of horror that it's, you know, jump scares or paranormal stuff, stuff that fucking freaks you out. Now, mind you, we watch more fucked up shit than the normal person. So someone watching Silence of the Lambs might find that terrifying to them compared to us. But yeah. I wish that anything that was kind of true crime related or just crime related in general had its own separate genre similar to horror, but wasn't horror, because I don't find this type of movie scary because I'll watch something else. Like, say, for instance, Paranormal Activity, which is way scarier to me than a film like this.
Not even a sex tape in that.
Oh, God.
We're not starting on the sex tape. God damn it.
But, like, you see what I mean? Like, there's certain movies that are categorized as a horror flick that I don't find scary, but I find a movie that's scary to be a horror movie. But then to the regular person, it might be, like, you know.
I think it's this kind of movie creeps me out much more than a lot of horror movies do, because it is so much about the mood and the vibe and just being creepy. Mm-hmm. It can actually, these are the kind of movies that still have the ability to creep me out. Like after I turn the movie off and I shut off the lights and I'm laying in bed, I can still be creeped out just by the vibe that this movie put out.
Yeah.
You like, get that with Silence of the Lambs too a little bit, man.
It's not the same though. They don't hit the vibe as hard.
I'm like a huge true crime buff. So a movie like this doesn't necessarily scare me, but it should scare me more than a movie like Paranormal Activity, because more true crime stuff is more likely to happen in real life than ghosts flying around my house and, you know, banging pots and pans and shit. But yeah, I think from like a cinematic standpoint, it makes you feel uncomfortable. And if it makes you feel uncomfortable and it makes you feel like grossed out and eerie and all that shit, it should be categorized as a horror movie. And you get that from both this film and from Silence of the Lambs as well. There are scenes in Silence of the Lambs, like when he's locked up and he fucking attacks the cop, like that's not a family friendly PG movie.
No, it's I love Silence of the Lambs is a very good movie. I don't know why Mikey's put me on. I like it.
Because you have many a times questioned how much of a horror movie it was.
Well, I don't think it's as much a horror movie as this. I don't think it's as much of a horror movie as Seven.
I was just about to say that. I was literally going to say, would you compare this to Seven in the horror genre? Again, true. It's a true crime. Well, not true crime, but you know what I mean. Like it's a serial killer crime related film.
I'll give you this, Mikey. Silence of the Lambs is more of a horror movie than Zodiac.
Yes.
I hate you.
Because that's another one that we talk about a lot. Zodiac. It is more of a horror film than Zodiac. It's not as good as Zodiac, but it's more of a horror film.
I hate you. Do you know what Greg thinks about Long Legs?
I don't.
Rob? No?
I don't.
Well, Greg, this message goes out to you. Gregory?
Pick him right in the dick.
If you like Long Legs and you consider Long Legs a horror movie, you better lighten up on your stance on Silence of the Lambs.
No, because Greg is hard. Silence of the Lambs is not a horror movie.
Hard. It's come up many times on this show.
I'm not that. I'm like, I see why people consider it a horror movie. I would call it a horror movie too, but it's not. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like a. It's closer to a thriller than I'd like it to be.
Yeah, yeah, but still, horror movie nonetheless.
Yeah. But the other performances, everybody's great. Blair Underwood's fantastic in this movie. Like when he makes that shift, when she shows up to their house in that final scene of the film.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah. So good. Kira Shipley's in one short scene in this movie, and she is fantastic. I know Micah Monroe was saying that when she read the script, she thought there's no way this is going to work. This is just not going to work. And Kira Shipley showed up and she made it fucking work. And it's great. But yeah, so I think the performances throughout your girl, Mikey, Alicia Witt from Urban Legend.
Yeah.
She's in there. You know what's really funny about this? This movie came out and then later that year, so what, a few months later, right around we started getting Christmas stuff at work, you know, like Christmas music started coming in from record labels and stuff. And there was a Christmas album from Alicia Witt that came out. And I'm looking at her on the cover of this Christmas album. And she's like, you know, she looks like your happy go-go Christmas mom or whatever, you know, like she just baked some cookies and shit. I'm like, dude, you were in fucking Long Legs. What is going on?
Yeah, it's weird to see.
Yeah, but she's great in this movie. It's like the weirdo hoarder mom and stuff, you know?
Makes you feel uncomfortable.
It makes you feel very uncomfortable. Yeah. I mean, it's top to bottom all the way through. I think this movie's great. I think it does have some effective jump scares too. You know, when that guy gets shot walking up to the, after knocking on the front door, you know, a lot of people in the theater jumped when that happened. Hell, even before that, when Nicolas Cage dips down and then the screen jumps, there's like a music cue and a bunch of people jumped. You know, so there are a couple in there, not a ton, but a little bit.
That's because those are jump scares done properly, not just put there can't scare any other way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's some effective jump scares and I think the story's great. And a lot of people got turned off because the story leans into that sort of, you know, supernatural Satan thing or whatever. I thought it was fun. You know, I thought it was an interesting way to go. Certainly something I'd never seen before.
The Satan thing worked. I mean, yeah, all the way. I don't know what people would be mad about with that.
I think people just, I think those are the people again who thought they were going to see the next Silence of the Lambs. And all of a sudden they got, you know, Satan in a ball and the doll of a head. You know what I mean? I think the people weren't happy with that. Like they didn't want it to be something supernatural. They wanted it to be, you know, a fucking police procedural or whatever. I don't know.
I was just going to say, like I said before, that's why I feel like people that didn't like it the first time should watch it a second time to have a different opinion. Because I have a different opinion. I like it way more the second time than I did the first time.
Yeah.
And it almost like plays kind of like Silence of the Lambs anyway. So like, I don't understand that point of view regardless, because even if you just look at it as some Satan worshiper who's doing all this fucked up shit, I mean, without a couple of points, like that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah.
You know, like essential.
But I do think though the standout star of this film above everything else is just the cinematography. Like it's so gorgeously shot.
100% agree.
Everything is great. You know, there's a ton of symmetry throughout the movie. Like everything's kind of symmetrical, which is sort of weirdly off-putting in itself. You know? I mean, it's just there are so many beautiful shots in here. I mentioned the switching from, you know, aspect ratios and stuff. Like when they do that at the beginning as the screen, it like slowly expands out. It just looks so fucking cool. But I love all that stuff. The score is great. Like the music is fantastic. I didn't order the vinyl and I don't know if it's still available because it was a very limited run.
Because when Spyro had mentioned it, I forget how long ago. But during one of the mailbag segments that he had watched Long Legs and I had given my thoughts on it then too, because I had watched it same couple days he did. And that was that was kind of the point then too, was it just the cinematography was a ballsy move too, you know?
Yeah.
Cause it looks great. So now we could sit here having watched it because it worked and we love it and we can say how great it is. But dude, like shit like that can turn, you know, the cube screens that they were using and everything, mm-hmm. like that shit like that doesn't always work, you know, and you could have a really good movie, but if you just have a bunch of dumb shit visually on a production end and a cinematography end, it'll change the whole vibe, yeah. you know, and it won't land. So I give them a lot of credit for that because it could have very easily have not worked, you know, right. like it turns out what they did was great, but taking that big of a chance with the cinematography, performance is very important, writing very important, all these things very important, but cinematography is very important because it's what you see, you know, yeah. like it's what your eyes are watching, and that's a big part of a movie. So mm-hmm. kudos for them to even going to just at the lengths they did to yeah. even try some funky shit with this.
Well, so many people during those watch alongs that I watched when it starts off in that sort of that I don't understand aspect ratios and shit all that well, right? Like I don't know the fucking numbers, but that like weird cube look. Mm-hmm. So many people are just like, oh fuck, I hope the whole movie's not gonna be like this. You know, like nobody wants to watch an entire movie like that. But but using it the way that they use it is very effective, and it helps tell the story. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, it's not there just to be there. It's they're not trying to be artsy just to fucking be artsy. But yeah, I think all the elements of this movie come together so well. It really is a fantastic film.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right. We ready for facts and all those things?
Yeah. Facts Hell for this deal. Movie. The budget for Long Legs was right around $10 million. Worldwide gross was $127.9 million. It was the largest box office success of Neon's existence, actually.
Yeah.
Sad to report, Mikey, there is no Danza in this film.
Robert Humphrey.
It's no Danza.
What'd I say, dude? Come on.
Well, well,
be a gentleman.
No. I think you said on the day of my daughter's wedding, you made me watch the
credits. Oh, my God.
He on my side one time. One time.
Okay. Many of Longlegs' encrypted messages contain misspellings and poor grammar after being decoded. That is a nod to the Zodiac Killer. He was also known for coded messages containing typos, which then made him more difficult to decode. To promote this film, Neon created a phone number, which, if dialed, played a pre-recorded, extremely disturbing message from Nicolas Cage as the killer.
Did you guys ever call that?
I did.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, it was pretty creepy. Not.
It's fucking creepy.
Yeah. During an interview, Osgood Perkins recalled a story from production where he learned Nicolas Cage has a particular skill that he says no other actor possesses. The ability to recognize how high or low he is able to speak without messing up the audio. According to Perkins, the sound guy came over to me one day. He comes up to me a couple of days into Nick being on set, and he says, "Oz, I've never seen anything like it. When Nick is mic'd, I'm watching the dials. When Nick goes big, he goes right to the line. Any more, a decibel or two over that, and it would be hard to use. Then he goes down, he goes soft, and he's whispering, and he's barely talking, and he goes right to the line. Anything past that line, you wouldn't be able to use it. He knows where the lines are. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life."
Wow.
That's impressive.
Which is, it's crazy because as someone who's worked with audio equipment basically my entire life, very hard, different equipment is different. And sometimes it feels like the same equipment is different on different days.
Yeah.
So to have a knowledge of that is just crazy. Anyway.
Yeah.
Despite the praise and acclaim of his portrayal as Long Legs, Nicolas Cage has stated this will be his only portrayal of a serial killer for film. In an interview with IndieWire, Cage said, "I know that the phone's going to be ringing off the hook to play serial killers after Long Legs, and that's not really what I like to do. I don't like violence. I don't want to play people who are hurting other people."
Oh, so, that's sweet.
I respect that.
He said, no serial killers.
Stay in character.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like Evan Peters when he did Dahmer. Like, he had to take a break from acting because it mentally fucked him up so bad with getting into that role. So I get it.
Longlegs quotes the poem Satan Says by Sharon Olds in his messages. The poem is about a girl locked in a cedar box being told by Satan that he can get her out if she blasphemes against her family. She does so, but Satan then seals her in the box and leaves her there.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. Osgood Perkins said he thought of only two actors to play Longlegs, Nicolas Cage, or anybody know who the second one might be?
No.
Kevin Spacey.
Brad Pitt.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can see that, but.
No. This movie would have sucked. I mean, no shade to Brad Pitt, but I mean, this movie would have sucked.
Yeah, it was close enough. I guess Spacey because of Seven, so.
Nicolas Cage and Osgood Perkins made this movie as a tribute to their mothers.
Interesting.
Really? It is interesting, and I don't know if I have this later, but if not, I'll talk to you about briefly what I don't see it. So Nicolas Cage's mother, I know, had a lot of mental illness. She suffered from that and made things rough on him and the rest of the family for quite a while. Osgood Perkins, though, as you guys know, is Anthony Perkins' son. Anthony Perkins was a closeted homosexual, and his mother was married to him, and she lived with that and didn't tell anyone his entire life. Anthony Perkins ended up dying of age-related complications. I think pneumonia, but I'm not sure. Osgood Perkins didn't find out that his father was gay until quite a while after his dad had died, and he was mad. He was mad at his mom for not telling him because he felt like he never really got to know his dad. And then he kind of came around, he softened on it and realized that it was a burden that his mother carried with her for most of her life, and that it wasn't her fault, and that that is the kind of thing that mothers do to protect their children, which is why the mother in this film does the things that she does to keep her daughter alive.
No, that makes sense.
God damn.
Micah Monroe initially met with Osgood Perkins about playing the lead role, only to later hear that the director didn't think she was right for the part. She was alarmed at the thought of losing out on the role, so she made an audition tape, and that helped seal the deal, but she almost didn't get it.
Wow.
Imagine. The composer for the score of the movie is Zilge? It's actually Osgood Perkins' brother, Elvis Perkins. He did the music for the film, but he, I guess, does music under that name. I don't know how Zilgi. I don't know how the fuck you say it. Huh. Osgood Perkins is seen on the TV when Lee is talking to her mother at the house. You can see him there. He's I didn't realize this, but I guess he was an actor for a while, and he has a role in his movie, The Monkey. Okay. This surpassed I, Tonya to become Neon's highest grossing film. I always like these things. The Russian title for the film translates to Soul Collector.
I like that. That's cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. Sometimes they're dumb. Like, what was the Final Destination one? Like Death Coaster or something. Yeah. Melissa Barrera met with Oz Perkins to play Lee, and he was very impressed by the script, but ultimately turned it down. As a devout Catholic, she wasn't comfortable with the satanic and supernatural elements of the film. Was she been okay? I don't know. I have trouble seeing her.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's hard for me to see anybody else in these roles because I think everybody nailed. Yeah. Like, if somebody nails it, then it's like, well, nobody else could have done it, you know?
Yeah.
Micah Monroe was kept completely, and Cass alluded to this, Micah Monroe was kept completely in the dark over Nicolas Cage's transformation as the as Longlegs, and had never seen Cage in character until they shot the interrogation scene, which also happened to be Cage's final day on set. During the filming, she wore a microphone on her shirt. Along with her dialogue, it was sensitive enough that it actually managed to capture her heartbeat as well. Monroe's initial resting heart rate was 76 beats per minute. When the scene ended, it had spiked to a rate of 170 beats per minute. And the sound of her panicked heartbeat was then used in a final promotion trailer prior to the film's release. In an interview, Monroe said it was insane. It was absolutely insane. As you know, he was completely transformed. There's no trace of Nick in there. His voice, his mannerisms, nothing.
Yeah, I... I think that that was one of the huge, huge selling points about that film for me personally, was that marketing. I just loved how they did the marketing for that movie.
Yeah. And the final thing that I have, a shadowy horned goat-like creature representing Satan is present throughout the film. He shows up a total of 10 times. It's most frequently when Agent Harker is investigating the satanic elements of the crimes. I don't think I've managed to see him all 10 times.
I've seen him. I've pointed it a couple of times when I was watching it the first time, because I knew that going into it.
Yeah.
But
I never see shit like that. Like, what was the Mike Flanagan Haunting of Hill House? Everybody's like, oh, there's ghosts in like every fucking scene. I saw like two the entire series.
So I'm like a super observer when I'm watching horror movies for that reason. And when Haunting of Hill House came out, I'm like, oh, this is like the perfect TV show for me, because I am literally looking at every like screen, like corner to corner of the screen, trying to see if I can find anything hidden in the background. So, I've seen quite a few through Long Legs, but
I think through Long Legs, I think maybe four. I've seen, but I guess there's 10 of them. I don't know.
But Haunting a Hill House, man, like it was my favorite. My mom is so anti-horror. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to show you this TV show. You're going to sit down. You're going to watch. She does not like horror movies at all. Like she, no bueno with her.
How did you become to be?
I know. She sat down. She watched the entire series with me. She loved it. She highly enjoyed it. But like every single time when there was a ghost on the screen, I literally paused it and ran up to the screen. Mom, do you see it? Oh my God. Pointing it out to her. And she enjoyed it.
Cass's mom was so disappointed. Like, yeah, I see it. Point out the shit I don't want to see. Exactly. Good job.
It's so fucking creepy. That's the one thing that I love about it. It's just stuff in the background just makes it that much more creepy.
It does. Is that it for facts or up?
That's it.
Okay. Hell of a deal. That's awesome. All right. We got to score this sumbitch.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, do you want to give your score now or do you want the outrageous number to go last?
It's up to you guys. What do you think? Should I go first or last?
Let's see. Do you think, Cass? Okay. Go ahead.
You think I go first?
I'll go first if you want.
Go ahead, Cass. Go ahead.
I'm giving it an 8.3.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Good score. Score. All right. 8.3. That's a good score. I am going to give this movie Long Legs. There's only so low it can go, right? Like even if you sit in the theater, go see Long Legs, and you come out and you say, man, I really didn't like it that much. Like it wasn't for me, or you know, whatever it could be. I feel like for what they did on a technical aspect, a production aspect, cinematography, the score, even if you look at the performance, like just on a, if you were to go across that movie checklist chart, you can't, to me, this is a rookie number, but I'm going to give it a flat 9.
All right.
I'm leaning a 9.1, but like, I'm going to go a flat 9.
Yeah. It's hard to give out those rookie numbers, but sometimes they're appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, like I want to give it at least a 9, but I want to give it a 9.1. But then I think of other movies, I'm going to sit at a 9.
All right. This movie's excellent. It's so, we already talked about it. There's virtually nothing wrong with it, right? Like everything is so well shot. All the acting is fantastic. The score is great. The story is really good. I do think, though, that it loses a little bit because the story is kind of confusing
a little bit.
And I watching again, I hate to keep going back to the reaction videos, but watching people try to figure this movie out is both maddening and kind of enlightening, as like, okay, they're very confused as to what happened. I mean, most people who finish watching go, I have no idea what the fuck that was.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe something could have been done to clarify it a little bit. I'm not sure. I love the ambiguous, you know, sort of the ambiguous ending of the film. We didn't really talk about that ending, but it's rather ambiguous, I think. And I don't know that I'm crazy about that, but I still love this movie and I'm giving it a 9.6.
God damn.
That's fair.
God damn.
He's a cage lover, so I get it.
Well, it's not just that, though. I mean, it's I mean, this movie, it could have been a 10 if it wasn't so, I don't want to say so confusing, because I understand it, I think, but that ending, especially being kind of open-ended, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
The ending's where it lost that full point for me. I'll be honest. You shoot your mother. You have to.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, not maybe not in the head or anything, but you have to do something. She just allowed it all to go down at the end. And I was just like, oh, come on.
Man. But you walk
through the door and shoot her.
It was kind of funny where he was like, no, I'll be right back. You'll still be in the kitchen.
Yeah, that was funny. That was, that was stolen good. From an Eminem song, though.
Oh, really? Didn't know that.
Yeah, Kim. He said he took his wife from their home and told his daughter that they'll be back. But he said, well, I will. You'll be in the trunk. I was like,
I remember that. Now, I will also say we didn't talk. There was a couple of things we didn't talk about. We didn't really talk about the ending. We also didn't talk about how people pluralize things that shouldn't be pluralized. Did you guys notice that?
No.
Like, he kept saying, I'll cut the cakes. I'm going to go cut the cakes. Right? And there was Kira Shipley's character. She kept adding an S to things that didn't need it, like making them plural. Mm-hmm. And it's only mentioned one time, though. Nobody else ever mentions it. But the only time it's mentioned is when the female FBI agent says the Book of Revelations and Lee corrects her and says Revelation. There's no S. There's something there. Right. But I can't quite work out exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And I like stuff like that, but at the same time, it also, I'm kind of like, maybe
you have to give us an answer. Yeah.
You know, and then also the ending is kind of left open. A lot of people, when she tries to shoot the dog, go, oh, she's out of bullets, but she's not out of bullets. She fired 4 shots.
Movies always do that, though.
I don't think she's out of bullets. I think she can't do it, because I think the implication is she is now going to become her mother. And this little girl is going to become the girl that she's raising and protecting.
That's some in-depth shit right there.
Yeah. I think that's what the movie's trying to say. But again, it's because it's left ambiguous. I'm not sure.
Right. Yeah. Oh. You gotta tie those ends. Yeah. And yeah, you just have to. This one does have a score of a 9.
Oh, wow.
At the end of the day. So I gave the correct answer is what that tells.
Well, no, it just means Cass gave it a bullshit answer and fucking screwed it. Her little fucking loan number.
All right.
Don't give me a scoozy. Sorry. Bullshit either.
Sorry.
Fucking Australian. Something's going to be done. I promise. Don't know what yet, but something's going to be done. Patreon.com/radio. Tier starting as low as $3 a month. Also go check out our YouTube where we just uploaded a video. It's also on this feed, but if you want the video version, you go watch that on YouTube/radio. It's not on TikTok because fuck TikTok. TikTok kept muting the fucking thing. It's like, oh, this music isn't allowed. Like, man, get the fuck. So it's not on TikTok. Yeah, go to YouTube. I don't know what to tell you, but you can follow us on TikTok as well. I'm at Mikey's Dead. Rob, what about you?
I am at Radio Rob 123, and you can listen to the other show that I do, the Nick fucking Woo Cagecast. That is the Nick effing Woo Cagecast in your podcast players. And speaking of getting dinged for things, Mikey, I always drop the trailer in the episode, you know, before we talk about the movie. I got a fucking thing from Spotify. Apparently one of the trailers has fucking licensed music in it, so they're dinging me for a copyright thing. I might have to re-edit that one, but if our World Trade Center episode is missing, that's why.
Yeah, they're not playing with that shit.
Yeah, we just released our episode on 2-1-1, and coming up, we will have an episode on Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Yeah, so let everybody know where they can find you.
I'm Makeup X Mistress on all platforms.
Yeah, go yell at her.
Don't go yell at me.
Make her mad. Do something.
I'm always mad.
That's true. Always
mean. I don't know about mad. She's always mean.
All right, guys, we'll catch you next week. Good night from Slash Radio. You'd like calling her mean.
She is mean.
Yeah. She is mean, but, you know, you say it a lot. That's so nice.
All the best of Slasher Radio Podcast.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.